With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say preview show. We've got some previewing and reacting for you this evening. Sunderland's devastating 3-1 loss to Lincoln City last night. To go over that and the trip to the Wham Stadium on Saturday, I'm joined as ever by Austria's Tom Walsh. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Matthew. How you doing?
All right, yeah. Not bad. Recording this at work.
Yeah, it's very nice. Would you like to tell the audience about the decor of your work?
No. there's sort of like a giant hand for a seat, which I'm not sitting on.
It's very very 90s, that.
It is, isn't it? It's very, as you, I think you pointed out, big breakfast vibes from that. join me and Tom are joined by Richard Easterbrook. Good evening, Rick. How are we?
Good evening. Very good. I've had two boiled eggs today.
In your car?
No. I had them in the office.
Did you buy them?
Oh, you had them at the office?
Yeah. Oh,
that's even worse.
Yeah. Boiled them last night in the toilet.
Of course you did. Oh my God,
do they smell.
Are you unable to eat an egg on the same day that you bought it or boiled it?
Well, I didn't have time in the morning to boil it. So
there was the awards situation.
Yeah.
So you waited about 4 days after buying it.
You didn't have time in the morning. It takes like 4 minutes.
You've got to cool the egg down as well. I don't want a hot egg.
They're nice.
Right. We're also joined by Jimmy Ray. Hello, Jim.
Oh, yeah. You're all right.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Still reeling from the egg revelation. I'm just glad I don't share it off with you.
That's how I measure time now.
I used to work with a guy who used to cook scrambled eggs in the microwave, and he got the nickname the Eggman after a couple of weeks. Maybe you'll become the Eggman of your office.
I'm happy with that.
Or the walrus. Yeah. Right. Let's start by unpicking last night's debacle. We've lost 3-1 to Link. Well, we've lost 3-1 to Chris Maguire, basically, is what we've done. Rick, from row three, you got a good view of Maguire's second and third goals, and obviously the penalty decision, which I missed and haven't seen back.
Yeah.
It was bad, wasn't it, really?
It was terrible. I've got to admit, I moved from row three for the second half.
Why'd you do that?
Is this an admission?
It's not an admission.
Another bad decision that you made.
It was very cold on the face last night.
So you moved to row four, specifically the face.
I moved up to the further up the ball in the corner. Sat near Gareth Barker. I don't have to say his full name. I sat next to Gareth for the second half, which was the level of football did not improve. In fact, it got worse, which was a surprise. It was just a bad night from start to finish, and it was a combination of factors from, and I'm sure we'll come on to this, but the terrible pitch. Be given credit to Lincoln, they came with a game plan and executed it really well. And the third factor was from 1 to 11, it was just a very bad night. I don't think anyone on that pitch in a red and white shirt came out of it with any real credit, save for like a 10-minute spell after our goal where we seemed to have a little bit of impetus. But apart from that, it was just a terrible night.
No, it was. And I've just... just you mentioned something there, and I've obviously got some notes written down here, and I've just got pitch shit written down, which so look, I don't know the performance we'll talk about, but the pitch, I mean, it didn't help, did it? It's rotten, no. Tom. It's horrible.
No, it's detrimental to the way that we want to play football. We saw at Wickham on Saturday, they had like a bowling green of a pitch, and we were able to play some really decent stuff on it. And that, and then it was quite evident from the start of the game that we were just going for long balls, because our like passing game, like we weren't on, you know, we weren't on the top of our game, but it doesn't help when you're trying to play through this like ploughed field of a pitch. And for a club of our status, I mean, I know we're in League One, but it's pretty embarrassing that we have to play on this kind of surface. And whatever investment we were promised in the summer in, you know, into the facilities, it clearly hasn't been spent on the pitch, because it looks awful.
Yeah.
It is. It's horrible. And but we can't make too many excuses. The performance wasn't there. I think you could tell that after a few minutes, Jim. But yeah, the pitch doesn't help. But I think also the fact that we've, I don't know, I think choosing to play these games hasn't proven to be the right decision, has it?
Yeah, well, I mean, in hindsight, no. I mean, I must admit, I'm not going to pretend I wasn't. I was pleased that we went ahead with the game against Wickham and follow on the game. I definitely do take your point that we have been light on the bench, which has resulted in us not being able to change the game. And in fairness to you, you did say that before even the Wickham game, that would likely happen, and it has done. However, I think as well, you've got to take into account that, you know, we did play. We had enough out there last night to play a lot better than what we did. I think the issue was with the pitch is definitely a big one. I know Tom's kind of covered that already. It's like to echo his thoughts that really it's embarrassing for a club of our standing to have a pitch that bad at this stage of the season, especially when money, well, there was rumours money may have been spent on it. I mean, I hope it hasn't, because if it has been, then they've, I don't know what they spent it on. But the standard was awful. I mean,
sprinklers,
the corners particularly, you know, it was so muddy. It was honestly, there's famously a couple of years ago that away game at Tranmere where one half of their pitch was basically mud. And one of the corners looked a bit like one of their corners that day, insofar as it was, you can see when Pritchard was trying to put balls in from that side. It was like, it was literally what, you know, I imagine akin to one of us playing on a field and on a Sunday morning, in terms of the quality of the amount of mud and the quality of grass he was trying to kick the ball out of. And it's just not good enough. I know we have an issue with the bowl as opposed to the gaps in between the stands, that it is harder to take care of a pitch that is in a bowl stadium, but that's nothing new. We've had a bowl stadium for years. You know, presumably we have the equipment to do it. The main issue is that the manager quite rightly has mentioned how it's a mitigating factor. The fact he's mentioned it numerous times over the fact he's been our manager and nothing's been done about it leads me to think that clearly it is affecting the way we're playing. Like you said, Tom, we can't play football on a pitch like that, not the way we should. You could see it last night. Balls were sticking. Other times balls were bobbling off. And while that was by no means the only issue last night, it certainly didn't help, because we did... There were times where we tried to get going, and I just think the whole thing just had a very kind of like, oh, it's going to be one of them type nights from quite early on. I think the pitch played a factor in that, and I think the general body language and stuff. And like you said, Matt, at the start, I think the lack of options off the bench, we could have probably had this game called off as well. I still don't think it's the right thing to do, insofar as like it really annoys me when these teams are calling off games when they've probably got more fit players than we have now. However, if other teams are doing it, why are we not doing it?
Yeah, why don't we game?
Yeah, I know it's one of them where I'm not like I am against it being done, but if at the same time if you're able to do it and it advantages you, you might as well, because everybody else is. So yeah, it's a bit of a tough one for me, because right from the start I've been very much games on. So I'm not gonna now turn around and say, oh, we should be calling them off, because that would be me disagreeing with previous me, which I don't want to do. But at the same time, I do also think that there is definitely an argument that there is a loophole there that we could have exploited. Had we Obviously, not conceded that ridiculous goal at the end at Wickham, we'd have won that one. But even then, I think with a stronger side out, we'd have been light years ahead of them, as we should have been last night against Lincoln as well.
I agree. I just touching on the performance, you know, Maguire like coming back and doing that. I think. I mean,
it was very funny.
Fantastic to the point. However,
I do think he should have been sent off.
Yeah, well, we'll get on that. But
he nearly broke someone's leg right at the beginning of the game. But after that,
he's great.
Yeah, that celebration was great. The fact he even made a point of differentiating between the fans and Johnson as well by initially not celebrating, then sprinted over and laughing in his face. I did enjoy that.
But the thing is, it's like, when a former player comes back, they always have a point to prove. But it's also a case of everyone in that team should know how this guy plays. The squad hasn't changed that much since he was there last year. You know everything he's about. You know how he's going to perform. And we just let him absolutely run the show. And to the point where the first goal, like, it's a really good strike. But it's the lack of awareness, not being switched on. He's the only player within that 10-meter radius of the ball that knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Because he's noticed everyone else has switched off and he's like, oh, we'll just take this free kick now.
It's what he would have done when he played for us. I mean, I'm pretty sure he has scored that. Like you say, Tom, he was doing for them what he used to do for us. And that goal was a very much a Chris Maguire goal, if you like, that you could imagine him having scored for us. I totally agree.
It's exactly what he did for us, and it's exactly, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that he's done. Yeah, I'm surprised that he came up and scored a hat-trick, to be fair. But I think, and then the second goal, the penalty was Richard. It just killed it, really, didn't it? I know we had that sort of rally just after that where we got the penalty ourselves, and then hilariously gave them another goal. But I think the second one with Winchester's dismissal. He was awful last night, Winchester. Yeah. He was just terrible. Weren't lucky to have him last night. the second goal, that was the killer.
No, it was. It was an absolute killer. It was like kind of a catalogue of errors as well. You know, you had Flanagan missing the ball completely. Going back to the pitch, maybe it was a bubble. Maybe we can give him that. And maybe we can say the same thing about Gucci's air shot, which indirectly led to the third goal.
I'm not excusing him from that.
But
disgraceful.
If the pitch played a factor, maybe it did that too. But it was just like Flanagan was having a kind of a circa 2018-19 season game, like, even to the misplaced diags that he was playing. Which, to be fair to him, he had no other option. But
he was bad on Saturday, Flanagan, as well. Mm. I thought, I don't think he was very good against Wickham either.
But I think it kind of just spoke to, I think he was just kind of he was the embodiment of how bad we were, because he couldn't play short balls. Neither could Doyle. So him and Doyle were kind of trooping up the pitch with the ball quite a lot and not having any options. And they were being forced to play diagonal balls to nobody, or to kind of to pitch it up to Stewart, who was knocking it down for nobody. So it was just that all night. And whether it was because of the players being a bit leggy and not moving enough, or whether it was just a case of Lincoln doing such a good job on us that our kind of dangerous players, the likes of Embleton, Gooch and Pritchard, you know, that front three of the midfield, they were really quiet. Embleton especially, he was really poor. Yeah, barely saw any of the ball either.
And when he did get it, he just wasted it. I think he had one attempt in the second half that he sort of dragged. I think we got a corner from it. But he just couldn't get it. Pritchard couldn't get into the game. And Diamond for me.
Yeah, I meant Diamond, not Gooch. Diamond.
Had a, you know, he had a goal, but he's just not at the level we need, really.
Yeah, yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame because he seemed to be full of running, but not
it's almost like they let him have the ball, I think, a bit more. Like, it was almost like they were happy to, because obviously you always need to kind of, you can't cover everyone equally. I think there's always a player that a team will be more happy to let have the ball. on one side or the other, and I'm pretty sure they were more happy for him to have it, and that fed into the others being closed down a lot. But like you say, even when they did have the ball, I mean, it was... we said before the Wigan game that when Pritchard plays well, we tend to play well, and I think that that fed in the fact he didn't play well yesterday. We didn't play well. I think you're saying, like you said, Mark, can be said for Embleton too. It was just one of those games where not one of the players seemed to be... Everyone seems to be having a bad game at the same time.
Which at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, and there's two ways to look at that, because you can say, well, at least that means they've all got the bad game out of the way at once rather than it coming successively back at the same time.
I presume that's your view, I imagine.
It's not mine either. They have had a bad game. It doesn't mean they're bad players all of a sudden. But I think there is definitely an issue there when it comes to, as we've seen before this season, sadly, just to get back to a slightly more negative thing, is that we seem to, under this manager, as we have done under previous managers, fail to capitalise on opportunities that we're given. And I think this is another example, because Lincoln are not a good team. They're not in a good position in the league. Chris Maguire is their only good player. They should not have beaten us 3-1 last night. I'm sorry, but we were just nowhere near where we need to be at this
season. Yeah, I would also like add to that the fact that it wasn't just... I think it was a combination of the two, that all our players were not getting into the rhythm. And then you come up against a team that kind of sensed that was happening. I think they came up for a draw. And then as the game like went on for about 10, 15 minutes, I think, nothing's really happening here for them, I think. And I thought as soon as they got their goal, I was like, they're just going to dig in for this. And actually, they were a bit better than that. And they could have had more, actually. Like, they had a good... Like they had a header off a corner after they went 3-1 up, and I thought this could be quite embarrassing. But fortunately, it was just the three. And yeah, let's hope it's a kind of a one off. But I don't know. This kind of performance is kind of reminiscent of earlier in the season, that the Sheffield Wednesday game where we were just hopeless. And I just hope it doesn't... We're not on another one of beloved managers patented like winless streaks, because if we get onto one of those now, well, that's it, because Wigan only have to win two games out of their five to go ahead of us. Rotherham have two games on us, so Rotherham could be out of sight like in the near future, and if Wigan pull anything back, then we're in trouble again. And then Wickham have closed a gap from what could have been 7 points on Saturday is now one. There's no margin for error really now towards the end of the season with all the weird scheduling. So yeah, let's just hope this is not the start of another.
It now means run. Our games against Wigan and Rotherham that we have yet to call.
Well, we have to win.
Win.
Yeah.
I'm sort of mixed a bit on them. I mean, I think possibly Rotherham are a bit better than us. I don't think Wigan are better than us. And I don't think they're going to win those five games. I think they might well win a couple.
Well, they only have to win two.
No. But then if they win two and then we beat them, that takes it back down. I do understand that what you mean. I'm loath to sort of write anything off, but I do definitely agree, Tom, there is no margin for error now. And Saturday, I mean, it's Accrington Stanley, isn't it? But it's a massive game. It's just like because if we lose again, it is unfortunately going to be the old streak. The old streak's going to come out, and it's as we've seen before, once it starts, it does snowball quickly, doesn't it? It just in terms of the negativity around the place. We arrested the streak after about a month, I think, in sort of, it was October really, wasn't it,
where we can't afford to do that.
We can't go for a month without winning the game.
We can't go for another game.
Absolutely not. I mean, the point on Saturday, nothing yesterday, so that now means that if we win on Saturday, that's four points in three games, which is really not what you need if you're going up anyway, especially if two of those games are against mid-table at best sides like Accrington and Lincoln.
Which the problem is, it's like if you don't win on Saturday, then you've got Portsmouth the next week who are now on a tear. Mm-hmm. So they've not lost since October. And it's also Portsmouth.
Yeah.
They're always a pain in the arse.
Yeah, they are. they are, and we know what that game's going to be like. Oh, well, obviously we'll play at Raymond on Saturday. We'll have to do it, I imagine, without Lee Johnson on the touchline because he got sent off because he's an idiot. I mean, to be fair, probably not the worst game to be banned from the touchline from because they don't really have any stands.
Yeah, he's basically going to be by the pitch anyway, isn't he? He can't really nothing. Might as well go
that pub,
the crown order.
But we look at that game. We'll just take a quick break and then we'll look at the trip to the Crown Ground or the Wham Stadium, whatever it's called, when we come back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. Sunderland head to Accrington yet again on Saturday afternoon. Accrington, who are actually in decent nick, to be fair. They've lost one of their last six in the league, although they've played five of them at home, which is bizarre. They've drawn with Milton Keynes and Shrewsbury. They beat Rotherham, of course, on Boxing Day, I think it was. They beat Bolton at home. They lost to AFC Wimbledon at home and they put five past Fleetwood. They're currently 11th, which is, you know, all right, really, considering little old Accrington Stanley, as they like us to call them. 25 games, 35 points, 31 goals.
Zero roofs on away stands.
Zero roofs on away stands. Colby Bishop, the former PE teacher.
Two times payments for one game.
Who had to, yeah, of course, on that as well. Who had to work his notice when Accrington signed him. Has got 8 in 25,
That's great.
Has got 8
from backshift.
It was literally from backshift. We head there again. So it needs to be a lot better than it was on last night.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, did you ever think that, like, when we're even when we're in the Championship, that within like 3 years, this would be our sixth visit to that ground?
No. I've got to admit, like the last 3 years, 4 seasons, just felt like a really bad anxiety dream.
Yeah,
I've been to all bar one. The only one I didn't go to was the rained off one. I managed to get a ticket for the replay.
That's the only one I went to.
I've been to all the others, and I must admit, it's actually not a bad away day. To be fair,
no, it's fine. It's just if it's not in the like
it is. It's just insane that we have to go there so often these days. When it used to be grounds in that area we used to go to, were obviously
with our
Old Trafford and the Etihad, and maybe even Ewood Park, but Turf Moor, but never not the Wham Stadium six times and whatever it is.
As I've said before, it's getting pretty like because it's every time we play them, it's like, oh, this is a bit, you know, this big old Sunderland coming down to little Accrington. I was just like, I'm so sick of this. So sick of being like, you know, the circus act comes into town and the whole town comes out to see it. It's just like, I'm just getting me out of this stupid division. It's like,
well, you know,
I mean, it's not our prerogative or it's not our fault that they're still in this division.
I don't know. I think it, I don't know if it's sold out or not. I mean, I'm going, but I don't know if it's sold out. I know I only bought a ticket the other day, so I don't. I think it pretty much is.
We got ours quite a while ago, but I think I saw someone on Twitter saying, "Didn't we got any spares?" So I assume that means.
Never mind. So maybe the design hasn't gone for Accrington away. Yeah,
has it sold the car park though. That's the question.
It is a good point. Yeah, we probably need to win this game because.
And
it's also like as you were reading out those stats there, I just assumed like Accrington were like 19th or something like that and hadn't won 10.
They had a bad start, but they've definitely picked up.
It seems like they're pretty handy, and it could be. Again, it's like I don't know what their pitch is in. Because I don't watch Accrington games if it's not involving us.
No, I'm concerned that I do either.
But if it's anything like ours, then we've got a bit of an issue then because we can't play the football we want to, and this is just going to be an almighty slog of a game, I imagine.
We've got a bit of an issue as well in the fact that. We just don't have any players to change it with either.
Will we not have some back now? Diaku and Hoffman not due back? Possibly.
Yeah, I guess it depends on testing negative.
I thought they were just like isolated in their periods, presumably because O'Brien was featured last night and he'd. Was just before then he caught it, wasn't it? So,
yeah.
If they tested positive though last Friday, then. It's 10 days unless they're testing negative. Yeah. So if they don't test negative, then they won't be available.
That's true.
But even then, they won't have trained.
I would definitely put certainly Hoffman back in immediately.
I feel bad on Patson, but I remember, Tom, we did the reaction pod after he played against the Wickham home game, and you said how he just doesn't inspire confidence, much as you're loathe to criticise a youth player and stuff like that. But you're right. Yeah. I think he's conceded 6 goals in 2 games since he's come back. And he has made some good saves as well, but the issue I've got with Patterson is I think for whatever reason he's not inspiring confidence in the defence in the same way that Hoffman does. And I think you can see that in terms of... I mean, it's a well-known thing, isn't it, really, in footy, that often the keeper sets the tone in terms of the defensive performance. And I just worry that he's a bit of a target for opposition players, and that feeds in. Because we did... Last night, I mean, he made a couple of good saves, but... He probably should have saved Maguire's first shot. And yeah, I think I'm worried if he plays again because I don't know. I don't think he's at the level we need.
He just looks terrified.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He just doesn't inspire any confidence in even us and presumably also not in his centre back.
I mean, that might just be his face, but yeah, it's not the worried face. He kind of like that kind of look on his face kind of gives me like the Michael Inghams about him.
Yeah.
Even though he's far better than him.
Yeah.
Because he was used.
Yeah.
But, well,
Richard's like, making some noises here about my mic.
Right. Just brought back. I'd kind of blanked that performance out.
That Ipswich 2-2. Yeah. Oh, that was horrible.
it was awful.
But yeah, he's not as bad. He's nowhere near as bad as that. But I think it's just like, I don't know, his presence and how he looks. Because
he looks like an outfield player playing in goal. The goalkeeper's been sent off and he has to put the gloves on. And he's wearing this like oversized shirt.
He does have that vibe about him. Actually, now you've said it, I can definitely see that.
I actually thought it was him that had been sent off last night because I sat at the other end and I was like, oh no, the goalkeeper's been sent off. And then it was like, who is the goalkeeper that we're going to have to bring on now?
Carney Code.
Some lad. It's just like some guy who used to play for he sounds like, oh yeah, I used to play for Man United. Like I was like 9.
I had trials for United once.
Yeah. Right. So, you can go in goal then. but let's assume that Patterson's going to be in goal on Saturday just because we don't, the trouble is with the way that, you know, these things are happening, we don't know when people have tested positive. We don't know when things have started and when things land. We're probably still without Bailey Wright, which I didn't think I'd be saying this in the beginning of the season. It's been a huge miss since he's come out of the team.
He, Like, he did really well at right back, didn't he?
Been great in recent weeks, and we really struggled since he's come out the side. Obviously, Winchester's now banned.
That's not great.
So that red card yesterday. Maybe Giacca could come back in.
Well, try Hughes. Yeah, he's going to have to play at some point. I get why he hasn't thrown him straight in. I don't get why
he's not been in the squad though.
I was going to say I get why he's not started, but I certainly would have had him on the bench at least yesterday.
We're looking at the people that he did have on the bench.
I don't know,
but hopefully. Well, yeah. Look, unless he's got
the old COVID as well. Who knows?
Maybe that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That'd be great. Really good.
The Linfield variant.
Yeah.
Especially in Belfast.
Maybe he can play in midfield. To be honest, I think Embleton and Neil in the middle against this sort of side,
How long's concussion protocol last for?
I think it's 8 days, but I might be wrong. Because I'm sure you can't play the following Saturday if you can. I think it's so you basically miss 3 games if there's a midweek game, but I might have just pulled that out of my arse. I usually do.
No, it sounds right, to be fair. Who else have we got in midfield?
We don't. Unless
like Aidan O'Brien comes in, somewhere.
He has played
central midfield. Is Alves back? We put him in midfield. He's big.
He's got COVID, hasn't he?
Great, this.
It's good, this, isn't it? It's
almost bring Luke 09 back in a sling.
Yeah, it's almost as if we shouldn't be playing the games, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, nowadays you can get like games called off for COVID and injuries. African Cup of Nations.
Yeah. It's insane.
So who plays in the African Cup of Nations for?
Suddenly find out Dan Neil's got like Sierra Leone pens.
He
went to Equatorial Guinea or something.
Well, Stephen Colger plays for Sierra Leone.
I couldn't believe it when I saw that. So I was like, what? Is it? I had to check it. Swindon's reserve keeper was playing for somebody as well. I noticed that.
Wow.
Starting in the Cup of Nations, but can't get a game.
How defined him?
We should preview that instead of this game.
No, we should. Really should. But obviously Stewart will play front. But
that's the only thing we're
kind of
certain.
That's the only thing. Pritchard will...
I mean, it's a good job he's as good as he is, because otherwise we really would be.
It's an awful penalty, wasn't it?
It was, but at least he scored. It's 18th goal now as well.
Very like a schoolyard kind of goal. Yeah. Where like the keeper saves it and he's like nah and then he boots out his hand. It's like nah.
I was waiting for the flag to go, to be honest. Yeah, I was like, oh, you're not having that. I don't know. Look, I'm trying to think of the team and trying to imagine who's going to play where, but there's not really anything to change.
We look a lot better with three at the back.
We do, but we just don't.
Biggest issue.
I mean, the centre halves we had, Jimagley was on the bench last night.
Ollie
Younger was on the bench last night, but. I don't know.
He doesn't seem to trust these young players though, when it comes to...
I think it's because they're largely not that good, though.
I get that we're younger, but with Jemaine, like he was signed as a first-team player. He's now, obviously, he's not really had the chance to play, but I would like to see him play in a league game, because I just don't know why he's not playing him. Like,
yeah, he's got to be one of those where he plays. It's like, that's why.
He's terrible. Right. He might play.
If he's fit, he should. Well, apparently, he can play midfield as well. He was assigned as a centre.
This is sounding very much like. Sounding very much like I used to play for Man United. Right? Yeah. Apparently, he can play in midfield.
Playing
you can do it. You can do it in Switzerland, but can you do it in Accrington?
Well, on it. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think the teams. A lot will depend in the next couple of days if anyone comes back from injury. If they can get the negative tests in.
If anyone else gets COVID,
of course. Like we don't. Like, we might get a couple back, but a couple more might go. It's difficult at the minute to predict what sort of what sort of team we're going to get. But it's also difficult to predict scores. So shall we have a go doing that?
Yeah, you can do.
Suppose.
Richard, what is the score going to be?
I'm going to go with 1-1. One, one, one.
Oh.
Not 1-1-1, 1-1.
That will be
one,
a bad
one, one. 1-1 and 1.
Yes.
And who's going to score our one goal?
Our one goal will be Ross Stewart.
Right, yeah. Probably.
Predictable.
Yeah. Well, that would be a terrible result.
It would be.
Tom, are we going to do any better than that? I'm saving Jim's inevitable prediction of a victory to last. So, Tom, have you...
Mine was going to be 1-1 as well.
Right. Goal the same.
With the goal scorer being...
Can it, not be the, can it not be the same?
No, it can be the same.
Oh, okay.
But you need,
I don't know. Someone useless. A Gooch penalty.
Take your pick. Right,
a Gooch penalty when it's like... towards the end of the game. So it's like, we've drawn, but we might as well have lost.
Yeah. Like Bolton that season when McGeady scored.
And everyone was
fuming.
Yeah, everyone's raging, even though you've scored a last-minute equaliser. Yeah, that kind of day out.
God, I'm excited for that. Jim, how many are we going to win by?
I think we are going to win by 2 goals. I think we're going to win
2-0.
Yep.
And who's going to notch the 2 goals?
There's going to be a... Flanagan is going to score. Gooch as well.
I don't think Gooch will score. He's crap.
Just to let you know, anyone going to Accrington on Saturday, 4 degrees and showers. So,
great.
You know.
Because I bought a ticket in
the
seating.
Well. I'll see you there, Matthew.
Yeah, well, awesome. See for a pint. Does no one care what I think the score's going to be? No.
Yeah, go on.
I think we'll get beat 2-1.
With Colby Bishop off his back shift.
Yeah, coming straight from Van
Tech. Straight from
Van Tech, put 2 in after Callum
Doyle.
He's going
to go back to Van Tech after the game as well for the other time.
After a Callum Doyle header has put us 1-0.
Goes 1-0 up and takes the pencil from behind his ear.
Yeah. He's still got his uniform on underneath his top.
Jacket on. Do you remember that documentary about Salford City where they followed them through the leagues? One Tuesday night game, one lad was late getting out from work, so he missed the bus. So he had to drive all the way to like somewhere in Yorkshire. And he got there just in time. There was footage of him going out of the car.
Oh, that's Colby Bishop.
The changing room just to get changed. But, that's going to be Colby.
Having to get a lift from Big Boss because he's late. Because he's been stuck at Van Tech. I'll try and do some kind of reaction pod on Saturday. Might build a meal with Jim and have a beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
If not, the lads will be back on Monday, I imagine. If you want to listen to that. Right, yeah. All that's left to say really is thanks for listening.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.